critical race theory, it is on the lips of everybody right now. It has made its way to the mainstream media. Conservative, liberal media is talking about it, and I've talked about it in many senses, but I want to dive into what it is, really why it matters, and do that more so not from my political standpoint, as I have done many times and as I will continue to do, but more so from a spiritual, biblical, Christian point of view. I think you cannot be a Christian and support critical race theory. You cannot believe the Bible, more poignantly, let me say it like that, and support critical race theory. It stems from cultural Marxism, and cultural Marxism stems from classical Marxism, or Marxism in general. And so I want to dive into that. I want to talk about that. I want to explore that in this particular video. Before I go further, I encourage y'all to like, to subscribe, to share this video. We are living in a moment where truth matters. Truth matters, not narrative. But we're living also in a moment where narrative is more popular and more profitable to spread than truth. And so you will aid in sharing truth by, number one, sharing this video, liking this video, pushing this video out to break the algorithm, and also by going to jshakourmedia.com, clicking support, and supporting this channel, supporting my podcast, and supporting the work I'm attempting to do on this YouTube channel, the platform I'm attempting to build as an independent journalist on this YouTube channel. It will do a great service, and it will do me great help. Thank you. Now, let's jump into this. I want to frame this in a biblical context, in a biblical way. I want to do so sharing a presentation I put together, and I've shared before, but I'm resharing because I think the moment calls for it. I want to talk about relieving the oppressed, which is really what critical race theory, I'm gonna say this, not all who pervade this ideology have bad intentions. I understand that, I get that, but the ideology itself is pretty horrible. It is pretty horrible. So I want to do my due diligence in exposing it, what is actually being said, why is it being said, and pushing back and saying, hey, a Christian cannot support CRT. A Christian cannot support critical race theory. A Christian cannot support these ideas. Relieving the oppressed, the biblical approach to righteous justice, and a pushback and expose on critical race theory. It's going to get a little dense. Pay attention. Take notes if you have to. It's truth, and it needs to be shared. First of all, what motivates me? I just want to be very clear. Nothing motivates me but faith, defending faith, the Christian faith, defending family, defending the strong and consistent nuclear family, such organization or institution being the bedrock of our society and the most important thing ever, being the first institution created by God. That is what I am striving to defend: faith, the Christian faith, family, and also freedom, civil freedom, and individual spiritual freedom. That is what drives me, and that alone. You can see it's kind of cut off because of my video, but go to jayshakourmedia.com. That's jayshakurmedia.com, and support, find out more about me, find out more about my work, and support. God is a God of justice. I think that's obvious, right? He is not a God that wants, he's not a God of revenge. He's not a God of hate. He's a God of love. He's a God of justice, right? He wants justice. Amos 5:24, let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. He calls for justice. The writings and the works and speeches of Martin Luther King highlight this in a great fashion. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time saying what a man greater than I, Martin Luther King, has said in a more eloquent way. You can go look up those speeches and those writings, or just read the Bible yourself. You learn that God is a God of justice. He's a God of truth. He's a God of righteousness. Justice, as this slide says, is a priority of God. It is a innate priority of God. Prime example, you see this trace, this principle of God being a God of justice in our founding documents, the U.S. Constitution, July 4th, ratified, establishing this nation, July 4th, 1776. Quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, that's God, with certain inalienable rights. That speaks of justice and the rights under the umbrella of justice endowed to every human being, regardless of skin color, regardless of race, by God. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So God is a God of justice. We learn, Isaiah 1:17, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. We learn that succinctly, Isaiah 1:17. This means simply that God is a God of justice. But what does that mean? What does it mean to relieve the oppressed? How do you do that God's way? Which the most sincere parts of Christians who push CRT and critical race theory and Marxism and cultural Marxism rather and all these other things and social justice, the more sincere parts of these groups have the idea of relieving the oppressed, and they feel that there are real viable grievances that need to be solved, right? I get that. But how do we do that God's way, right? How do we do that God's way? In short, Jesus Christ and the cross. Everything that we need has been supplied to us by Jesus Christ and the cross, right? But this ain't God's way. This is not God's way. Cultural Marxism is not God's way, nor is it any proper way, be it spiritually or politically, to solve any issue in society. This, and you see the dummy, the little, what they call the dummy's guide to cultural Marxism, it's basically a caste system. It's a caste system, a 21st century United States Western caste system, birthed in the Western world. But deeper is this sense of a technology, or what's spreading more vibrantly is a technology of cultural Marxism, which is critical race theory. I'll show you how that was birthed out of cultural Marxism, right? But what, first of all, is cultural Marxism? What, first of all, birthed or got us to this point of CRT, of critical race theory? The initial goal of cultural Marxism was to explain why the revolution, as Marx predicted it, did not occur. Marx died in about 1888, and it was an attempt to explain why classical Marxism, which is an economic principle, which basically said, hey, based on how Marx saw it, history was divided up into three different paths, three different eras, three different stages, if you will. The feudal stage, the ancient stage, excuse me, the feudal stage, and then the capitalist stage. He surmised, he asserted, he believed that the capitalist stage would eventually fall. There'd be a revolution of the workers, of the proletariat, and then they would overthrow the capitalist society, and therefore you would have the proletariat overthrowing the bourgeoisie, and it was a class war, right? And ultimately it usher in communism and socialism, and it'll be everything shared in common and all of that by the workers, and the workers will own the means of production and all of that, right? That was the ideal utopia that the atheistic, lewd Karl Marx desired and believed, right? But it didn't happen the way he thought it would. Capitalism did not fall in the West as he thought it would, and so cultural Marxism was birthed. Cultural Marxism was birthed. I want you guys to see that. Cultural Marxism was birthed to explain why it did not happen, why the overthrow, the revolution did not happen as Karl Marx predicted. There are two streams of influence that birthed cultural Marxism, which eventually gave us and gives us critical race theory and intersectionality and all these other things that we're hearing constantly every day in the media, on social media, and everywhere else. The first stream, or one of the most prominent ones, is the Antonio Gramsci stream. He was an Italian Marxist, i.e. a follower of Marx, believed in the teachings of Karl Marx. He believed in something called the cultural hegemony. And it's like the cultural supremacy. He believed that this was a structure. And sociologists and anthropologists have defined this as, quote, referring to the domination or rule, speaking of what cultural hegemony is, refers to the domination or rule maintained through ideological or cultural means. It is usually through social institutions, which allow those in power to strongly influence the values, norms, ideas, expectations, and worldview and behavior of the rest of society. So it pits this bourgeoisie class, if you will, cultural hegemony. You can use those kind of synonymously here, saying, hey, there's this group, there's this people, there's these type of people that are oppressing the proletariat, that are oppressing a certain other group or groups of people, right? And they control the institutions of society, and that's a problem. And that's why, according to Antonio Gramsci, that Karl Marx's revolution did not occur as it should. It builds out a victim class or victim classes or victim groups versus a power class versus a power group. In America, that's white, straight men. White, straight, able-bodied men, meaning they're not disabled. They are the ultimate hegemony, the ultimate supreme dominating society. Hence, people say things like math are racist and this is racist. It's why you can look at certain misnomers in society. Women make up 50, almost 50 or so percent of the U.S. population, but yet they're deemed a minority. They're deemed oppressed. Why? Because of the cultural hegemony. Oppressed compared to what? Oppressed compared to who? White, straight men. So white, straight men are the oppressors, deemed the cultural hegemony. Deemed at the top of the cultural hegemonic power, they are the oppressors, oppressing everybody else, the black people, the Asian people, the Latino people, the gay people, the straight, you know, the queer people, the LGBTQ. That is the cultural hegemony brought into it. This is it without race, right? Race has not yet entered. Race will enter later on. Let's keep going. As I said, in our society, it's the white male heterosexual, what they're now calling cisgender, meaning you were born a man and you stayed a man. So white male heterosexual, cisgendered, able-bodied, native-born American man is the ultimate hegemonic power oppressing everybody else, right? You see it in our society, and it's become, in many instances, normal conversation. We talk about it like this, right? That's how severe it has infiltrated every institution, that it's also infiltrated much of our daily language. All right, everyone who is not in the above is a minority and is a victim and at war with this group, the white, straight, male, cisgender, able-bodied man, right? Gramsci's Marxism, it developed, again, to explain why the worker revolution did not occur as Marx predicted it, right? It goes on to, in Gramsci's view, to establish, as I said, the cultural hegemony. But it says, in order to begin to overthrow this cultural hegemony, in order to overthrow the white man, we hear that, the white man, or the man is out to get me. We hear that, especially if you're black, in the black community, you heard that at least once, right? Or you hear it in old movies, or you hear it in old TV shows, or you hear it in old footage, old speeches, or whatever. That idea says, hey, we need to control what is known as colloquially the robes of society. What does that mean? That simply means those who have institutional power, we need to infiltrate them. So judges, that's the judicial, professors, that's education. And we see how it has infiltrated our schools currently. Pastors, that's religion, and that's the church, really. And politicians, government, we see it has critical race theory, which is an offshoot of cultural Marxism. We see how it has infiltrated up to the highest levels in our government and in these other areas. This educates and mobilizes, according to what the Gramscian school of thought believed as it concerns Marxism and why it did not happen as Marx predicted. This will then mobilize against the hegemonic power, the white straight male. It'll mobilize people to then revolt against the hegemonic power, provoking the revolution that Marx predicted. It did not happen because Marx missed the fact, according to Antonio Gramsci, that there is a hegemonic power asserting its authority and oppressing people, according to Antonio Gramsci. So then they separate everybody off into victim groups. And then how do they gain political power? More so distinctly, they say, hey, we're going to advocate for you, black people. Sounds like a political party in this country, but I ain't going to name no names. We're going to advocate for what you need, black people. We're going to advocate for what you need, LGBTQIA, A, B, C, Z. We're going to advocate for what you want, women, feminists, we're going to advocate for you because we're for you. But the whole thing is to overthrow a system of government by blaming and saying it's racist or it's controlled by the hegemonic power of white straight men. Make them out to be, as Farrakhan and other black supremacists have said, the devil. All right. Now, the Frankfurt School, I'm trying to go through this quickly. The Frankfurt School, it was a group of scholars, and we know how foolish educated people can be. The Frankfurt School, a group of scholars in Frankfurt, Germany, eventually made their way to New York and Columbia University, and that's right to Harvard. And I know a president who was black who went to these schools, and yeah, he was the ultimate cultural Marxist, probably the first ever to sit in the presidency. Anyway, besides Biden and Kamala. But the Frankfurt School, again, a collection of scholars in Frankfurt, Germany, they developed critical theory. Came later in the 80s and 90s, critical race theory, right? But this is critical theory coming from Frankfurt, Germany. And this is their explanation as to why the revolution, as predicted by Karl Marx, did not happen. They said individuals were receiving so much information through mass media, and that, mind you, this is right off of World War One. So this, the TV wasn't even really a thing. It was probably more so radio, considered mass media. And they're saying, hey, these people, they're receiving so much information through mass media, and so the goal then became, okay, we need to control what people are receiving. We need to leverage these tools in order to bring about change in the hegemonic power. We need to leverage media. We need to leverage the microphones, if you will, of society in order to wage war and provoke revolution against the hegemonic powers, right? Reduce everything to discussions about race, class, gender, and sex. And then they separate gender and sex to mean two different things, right? They used to mean, what's your sex or what's your gender? You typically said what your sex was, male or female, right? But they have delineated and separated that to be two different things. So then they said, let's be critical of everything in relationship to race, class, sex, or gender. Critical race theory. Let's be critical of everything in relationship to looking at emphasizing race, class, gender, and sex. And if we do that, and if we pump it through the microphones of society, at that time radio, really, now it's social media and TV and all of that, if we pump it through the microphones of society, then people will revolt. It will provoke the revolt. Think of these things as backwards explanations, if you will, as to why. This is really what Marxism is. Cultural Marxism, which births critical race theory. We see how critical race theory comes into play now. We'll get to critical race theory soon. We see how these things all come about to explain why the revolution has not occurred and to provoke revolution. The goal, the end goal of critical race theory, hear me, the end goal, this has to be heard. I want this to be heard. The end goal of critical race theory, the end goal of cultural Marxism, the end goal of these teachings that come from, really, Frankfurt, Germany, come from the Frankfurt School, comes from Antonio Gramsci, comes from Karl Marx. The end goal of these things is to provoke revolution, is to overturn what they deem the oppressive system. It's not about teaching black history or teaching history in the proper way. No, that is a scapegoat. That is a false argument. That's a straw man argument. The end goal is to overturn. Hear me say this. I'm saying this to you as a black man who's mildly studied these ideologies. The end goal is not to teach history in the proper way and teach slavery the right way. No, that's a lie some cable news host has told you. The end goal of critical race theory, cultural Marxism, and intersectionality and all these other things is to provoke revolution, to overturn the system. What is the system? In this case, in our subject, in our focus, in our world, it is our country. It is the United States and the United States government and how that government was founded and what that government was founded upon. Let's continue. I'm almost done. So that's the Frankfurt School. There's the explanation as to why the revolution didn't happen as predicted by Marx. They gave us, as I said, critical race theory, critical theory, which then is where critical race theory comes from, which basically says we need to focus in on race because race is endemic and we need to focus in on it and be critical of everything and every institution, every American, Western, United States institution because of and looking through a lens of race. Political correctness, they gave us multiculturalism. And when I say that, I don't mean, oh, I'm xenophobic, I don't like other cultures. No, that means, that's it, let's now emphasize not on America or being American, let's emphasize on being a melting pot. Now, it is true, America is a melting pot. We get that. Anybody who knows any cursory, have any cursory review of American history knows America is a melting pot, right? A nation of it, we get that. But they're saying, hey, forget this idea of meritocracy and being an American. Let's lessen that and focus more on being global citizens, which you pay attention to, but it should not be important. You should be loyal to country. That's why patriotism and being patriotic and now having an American flag is deemed controversial. Marxism, cultural Marxism, critical theory, critical race theory, Frankfurt School. When you teach all of this stuff, right? When you, the end result, really, one, it's outright lies, right? Who wants to be lied to? Many people are being lied to and have been lied to and been brainwashed, really. But when you teach this stuff, you ignore real pain, real brokenness, real sin, real cultural problems by blaming everything on race, sex, class, or gender. That's really what it gets down to. We've created an environment where we've divided everyone up into these little constituencies and these little oppressed groups. And we create stereotypes. All black people are this way. All gay people this way. All women are this way. All this, and all women are oppressed. All black people should be victims and blah, blah, blah. And you create this thing where people are no longer individuals. Critical race theory lessens the power and agency of the individual. And when you create this type of culture, when you create this type of environment, you then give people a scapegoat, the system. Black people blame the system is holding me down. The white man is holding me down. The hegemonic white man, straight male power is holding me down. You create victimhood culture. And it breeds more victimhood culture. And victimhood is addictive to people. And you ignore real pain, real issues, real heartache, real cultural deficiencies that are holding people back. So it's no longer the choices I make. It's what the system has done and what the white, straight, cis male system has done to me. And real issues don't go unaddressed and unsolved, and lives are ruined. You then pit perceived oppressed groups against each other, and that only creates more division. So critical theory and critical race theory and all these things only are creating more division. That's really what it's doing. God's way is the cross of Jesus Christ. If a preacher is teaching any of this crap I just talked about, and from cultural Marxism you get critical theory, then you get critical race theory, and then you get these ideas of critical race theory like white privilege and intersectionality and white rage and white fragility, and you get all these things, these buzzwords and all these ideas from this thing called critical theory, which comes from critical theory, which comes from cultural Marxism, which comes from Karl Marx, which is Marxism, communism, socialism. The goal is to implement communism, socialism. That is not biblical. I'm sorry, my friend, but that is not biblical. So if you have a pastor, preacher, a fellow believer preaching, believing this stuff, they're deceived. So how do we relieve the oppressed, as many who have sincere hearts want? They don't want people to be oppressed. They want them to have relief. They want them to have justice. I get it. But how do you do that? It's a biblical way for all things. And the biblical way is Jeremiah 17:9, quote, "The heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We must understand that first. God, the heart, human heart, is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it but God? Understanding that only God can know and judge the heart and the true intent. Once we understand that, we can then look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but unto us who are saved is the power of God." Only God can give out true justice. Does that mean we don't have a set of laws that we adhere to and that we follow? No, we do, obviously. Does that mean that when someone breaks a law, we don't punish them by the law and what the law dictates and we wait on God? No, that means they, if you break the law, you pay whatever the law demands. If it's jail time, it's a fine, it's a fee, whatever. But that also means we have to understand that what's going to change the hearts of men and begin to uplift people is God. Not any of these political asinine theories that intellectuals thought up in their fantasy worlds on ivory tower college campuses. As we preach Christ and not victimhood to victim groups, hearts change. And then those who may legitimately be oppressors and those who may legitimately be oppressed or disadvantaged will begin to be empowered. Vadi Bakum said it this way. He said, quote, if the social justice movement went by its actual name, young Christians would not have been lured into it. Because the social justice movement is actually cultural Marxism. How is it cultural Marxism? It pits oppressed groups against an oppressor, and that oppressor is the white male cis straight guy. All right. That's not biblical. Vadi Bakum goes on to say, quote, there's no such thing as social justice. In fact, in the Bible, justice never has an adjective. There's no such thing as social justice, economic justice, environmental justice, as all of these woke people are trying to push. No, there's only justice. Either something is just or it's unjust. Either something is right or it's wrong. As he says, in fact, in the Bible, justice never has an adjective. There's justice and then there's injustice, he says. But there's not different kinds of justice. So that's how cultural Marxism is anti-Bible, anti-Christ, anti-Christianity, and stupid and counterproductive, only creating more division. More division. It's a caste system. It's a caste system. I hope this helped you all. Hope this explained critical race theory. Hope it gave you all a insight into this moment, where critical race theory comes from, where cultural Marxism comes from, and where all of these really radical ideas come from. And what's the end goal of it? Revolution. Hope this explained this to you. Hope it helped you understand it. Share this video with someone who may need to understand what's going on in the culture more succinctly and with more informed, true information and not just simply narrative and talking points that they get off of CNN. Share this, like this. Hope this helped you. I'll see you guys next time.